This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks, Denny. Appreciate that. Denny Long coming in to give us the forecast. That was so good. Congrats to Denny on a fantastic run. Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, News Talk 830 WCCO. I hope you know, Dave, why they brought Amy Hockert in. Amy was excellent. They figured, you know, she sees Adam. I mean, if Adam could host a show, yeah, who can host a show?
She could do that thing blindfolded in her sleep.
Exactly. So I had a different topic planned for the opening salvo. You know, grab the audience.
You're going to come out hot?
I'm coming out hot now instead on something that I think all of us are going to identify. So I was chatting with you on the ride down. We were going over our prep. What we're going to talk about, what we're not going to talk about. And then I was just coming up with dumb stuff, and you were coming up with dumb stuff. We do more of that. Like, Adam and Jordan, they meet for like 30 minutes. We just make fun of people, make fun of each other.
Yeah.
That's our meeting.
It usually starts with you calling me. You're on the road, typically.
Yeah.
I'm sure hands-free.
Yeah, I am hands-free.
Within 10 seconds, you're complaining about somebody's cutting you off or some clown who won't have their turn signal on. You know, and there's always a traffic problem with
you.
And I'm beginning to think you're the problem.
That can't be possible. I'm perfect, so I don't know, but you're exactly right. About every time I've called you the last 10 days, what is this guy doing right in front of me? I'm just... And, like, the guy can hear me or the gal can hear me. You know, I'm assuming everyone's just listening to my thoughts. So I just had some peanuts from Cardinal. Now I have these stuck in my throat for a while. Can I have a little water?
Sure.
Why don't you lay out the guests while I have a little water?
Oh, good guest list today. Starts with, of course, Major Gear at 12:35, the Friday staple. Derek Falvey, Twins president of baseball operations. He'll be at 1:05. Shaletta sliding back an hour to 2:05 so that she can be here in studio.
The columnist.
The columnist.
Yes.
The queen, Shaletta Brundage, 2:05. And people have been talking. A lot of people have been talking about the return of Am I Wrong to the show.
It's been
a few weeks, 2:35.
Excellent.
A lot to say.
Okay. So I decide I'm going to go the concourse. I'm going to look around and decide, and I settle on Potbelly. Clearly, I did not have Carter get me something from Potbelly because I was reminded, listed 8 or 9 condiments. I got all but one. Which one did I not get?
You did not get mayo.
Thank you. Every other condiment, but...
It's a very busy condiment sandwich.
Light. Light. And I liked it because my guy, what would he be called? The sandwich artiste?
I think a sandwich artist. That's what I go with at Subway.
Yep, sandwich artiste. Okay. My guy at Potbelly, I said light. Because a lot of the folks who are making those sandwiches, if you say you want... it's like...
They grab the bottle and...
Exactly. Yeah. And then it's like an entire salad is on there. So I go to the Rec. That's my go-to at Potbelly. I get Potbelly down here twice a year, maybe. I miss Allie's Deli, which was right across from Potbelly. I'm team Potbelly, but I miss Allie's Deli. Allie, come back. I get it. They come back for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Yeah.
So I get the sandwich, and I'm walking. And all of a sudden, as, again, the Skyway, it's like understanding, and, you know, like J.J. McCarthy was going to understand the NFL defenses, understanding which Skyway is open down here. Good luck to you. You think they're blitzing you and J.J.'s got to react quickly? Figure out which Skyways are available.
God help you if you're after 5 p.m. or on a weekend.
Oh, they'll be locked. You know, it's a joke. They want people down here, but then we shut the sky. We literally lock the Skyways at 3 o'clock. You know, makes a lot of sense. So I got to circle back. No big deal. And this guy, I can hear this guy behind me, and he's so loud. Hey! Not exaggerating. Okay, we got to do this. And I'm thinking, okay, is he with an older parent? I was down that road with my father, although my father was so much of a lip reader that so many people, they would go in, like, into his left or right ear, and they go, "Can you hear me?" And I'd have to tell him over, "You don't have to scream.
Just go face
to face." He reads lips. That's why there are a couple of people who used to work here who annoy me to no end because they knew he was a lip reader, and they wouldn't do it when they would be on the air with him. And it was insulting, to be honest. And I hear this guy for like 20 seconds. You know me, I'm agitated quickly. And finally I turn around, and he's got like the Brad Childers headset. Remember, Chili had like some hearing thing going. Mayo Clinic, where it was just like a one wire. Okay? So this guy has got the one. He's talking on the phone on his mini NFL headset as he's walking through the skyway. "Yeah, this is what we got to do, Bill. We got to call. We got to be tough on this." And he's just shouting as he's walking through the skyway. I hope he rolls both his ankles and can't walk properly for 2 weeks. What a clown. You cannot do that. You can't be on the hands-free, and then the mic is so far away from your mouth that you're shouting loud while you're walking amongst all of us, the rabble, on the skyway. Dead to me. You problem. Lose my number. All of them. Awful person. Jackass of the day. Are you with me? You can't do that.
I'll go farther. I think having a conversation at all, if you're hands-free, walking on a sideway, through the mall, skyway, whatever. If you've just got the earbud and you're having a phone conversation, it's very unnerving to everyone around you when you just out of the blue start talking. And what's going
on? You're right.
Then you have to, you know, after a few seconds, they got the thing in their ear. You might even be on the wrong side. You can't even see it. Don't like it.
Don't like it at all.
Don't like it at all. Get rid of it.
Don't like it at all.
Hold the phone. If you're walking somewhere, if you're in public, take the phone. Hold it up to your ear. It's not that hard.
Not while you're driving. This isn't that tough. While you're driving, go hands-free.
You can do that.
And if it's an emergency, if something's going on with a family member or some work, you know what you do? You stop. You go out to the side where it's a little bit more private, where your attention is focused on, "Bill, we got to talk." Awful, right?
Yes. Roll an ankle. Step on a Lego. All of it's fine.
I should have these peanuts before the show.
Yeah, that was a bad choice.
It was stuck in
my
throat. You know, I wanted a little jolt after the potbelly wreck. I was fine. And I've got one stuck in the throat.
Everybody knows when you need a jolt, go for a handful of peanuts.
Yeah, well, they were in front of me with the bottom feeder. You know, so he was right here.
You've got no self-control.
I don't. I really don't. Okay. Does anybody want to defend this buffoon? Because I don't think we use the word buffoon enough. Okay, does anyone defend this individual? Because I don't understand how you can do it. You know, if his wife's water broke, okay. If a child is having a health issue, it didn't in any way sound like an emergency because I heard it for about 2 minutes because he's walking to CCO. Thank God when I went down the stairs, he turned the other way. I thought, is this a guest with Carter? So what do you want to say about this guy? How much does this annoy you? And other phone etiquette issues which drive you nuts? Because I have another one. I know you're shocked by it. That there's something out there that annoys me.
People that call and complain about traffic issues?
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one. Now, if it's a significant traffic issue and they text us, that's fine. But if it's just a normal backup, this is similar to rain totals.
No, I was referring to you calling and complaining about the traffic.
Yeah, I do that often.
As your opening line.
Yeah.
"Hey, how you doing? Can't believe this guy."
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel so sorry for you.
Well, we once had a program director who was stuck in traffic so bad that he came in and yelled at the news department because they hadn't reported on the traffic on his way in. What do you think about that?
If you're the news director, I think you have the ability to make that happen.
Shockingly, he mainly would scream at the female employees on a consistent basis. Quality, quality human being. What do you think about this scenario in the Skyway? And what other phone etiquette issues annoy you, bug you? What do you have? 651-461-9226. Here we go again. StylesFinancial.com talk and text lines. 651-461-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. I think I have an idea, but you want to lay out the music bumper theme for today?
Well, because it's the weekend of rock music here in the Twin Cities, we're going to hear from almost, well, not almost all of the bands, but plenty of the bands that are playing around town. Starting with Metallica here, you'll hear Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Def Leppard, Steve Miller, your favorite band in the world, Journey.
Oh, God.
We're going to hear them all today, baby.
Oh, my God. Get out of here. Okay, so we're talking phone etiquette. What I saw on the Skyway, guy with the old school coordinators set up and just screaming into his phone.
Did he have a guy following him, too, so that he could hand the set off to at halftime or after the game?
Like a younger guy.
Yeah.
Younger guy. You know? Well, some of those younger guys turn out to be, like, head coaches.
Yeah.
And, like,
work your way
up. If you're in baseball, might be the general manager in about 7 years.
Yeah.
It happens pretty fast. Okay, let's get to some of these texts. I think you just developed a new segment, Jackass of the Day. We could go with that. We might have to clean it up a little bit. Also, people that talk on a speakerphone in public. Yeah, that's hold the phone up to your ear. Not when you're driving. If you're in an office or something, fine. But no, there's really no difference in that to this whole headset thing that this guy had.
I find the headset more unnerving. At least if it's a speaker, it's annoying. But I'm getting both sides of the conversation. Maybe they're getting
you
some
want
juice.
More. I see of the two.
Maybe there's some gossip. I don't know.
Man, it would have to be some delectable gossip for me. I'd rather just hear one side of the conversation. You want to hear both individuals talking loud while you're just going about your day?
If I have to hear one side, just give me them both. That's fine.
Chad, I experience this almost every time I go to the grocery store or mall. A lot of people do. It frustrates me. I don't need to hear other people's conversation. That's annoying. I find it rude. You're correct. What's your take on talking over earbuds while walking the dog in the neighborhood? All right, Dave, you do this. You have a dog. Are you one who brings out the earbuds and is holding up the phone and
no.
talking to me and others?
No. Never.
Mm-mm.
Never. I never use earbuds for anything unless I'm on a plane.
You like when you walk the dog, if it's a long, remind me the name of your dog.
Dylan.
Dylan. You're walking Dylan. I know Dylan's a little bit older, so maybe the walks aren't as far as they used to be. But you never just bring an earbud?
Nope.
Okay, for a run?
No.
Are you a Luddite? Do you believe in technology?
I enjoy the silence. I enjoy just, it's meditative for me, I guess.
Okay.
The walks or runs, it can be a 20-mile run, Chad.
Okay.
I do those often. I just enjoy being outside in nature and clearing my head.
A lot of people believe in that.
Yeah, but you make fun of us. Call us Luddites. That's fine.
I call you. Okay. And for you, it's probably the cost of the earbuds that's causing you to make the change.
I got some free Odyssey ones back when we changed names.
Didn't we get some?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're a nice set. Bluetooth action.
I don't know if I ever got those. Might be a hint.
Yeah.
Might be trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Adam from Robbinsdale has called in. Adam, always a pleasure. What's on your mind, sir?
So one up on the speakerphone on the golf course drives me insane.
Oh, that's awful.
But, oh my gosh. But I'm going to disagree with you. I'm an earbud guy, but only one earbud. And the reason why is because of the noise isolation. It's way easier to hear because these speakers on these phones suck now. They're just not, I mean, you know, they're flat, they don't contour well, and it's easier for people to hear me. But the dual, you know, the not both earbuds, because then they can't hear themselves talk. So it's like when, you know, someone's talking when they have their headphones on, they're yelling virtually. But the one earbud, we're in business.
Okay,
No, it's annoying.
It's a rather crowded Skyway. There's a lot of people. And you need to speak up into your phone. Are you still doing this?
Oh, they can hear better with the earbud than actually on the phone.
Yeah, but okay, so you're saying you don't have to speak as loud.
No, you don't, because they have the noise isolation part. So that's but you got to get the, you know, not the cheap arrogant ones. You got to get the expensive ones.
Yeah.
So,
well,
unfortunately, to do that.
Yeah.
And the headset is ridiculous. You're not some Wall Street trader.
Headset.
Okay, let's get rid of that.
Honestly, and it was really far from his mouth. It was, get out of here. You're not the future Wes Phillips. You know, he thinks he's KOC. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. Do you want to know why I go right now with the one earbud, Dave? What's your guess? I lost it.
That makes sense.
I lost it.
Double earbud people, by the way, tremendously annoying on walking paths.
Well, that among our first topics, how about it? We'll mention our opening guest, Don Shelby, Thursday. Opening guest at the fair.
At the fair, yes.
Yep. 12:35, get ready for it. I'm already going there. Spatial awareness. Because the spatial awareness, even from parking, I'll make my way to Sausage by Cynthia. That's where I stop every time, the first time I get there. It's very good, old school, and it's on the way. My shortcut through, hi, everybody, it's NPR. Then I go back there by the French fry place, by Care 11. And then I sneak in the back door and I say, is it the last day yet? But the people and the spatial awareness, I think that the two earbuds creates awful spatial awareness. Radio guests that are on speakerphone, the echo is annoying. Absolutely right.
Yep.
And we, in this case you, will ask the guests every time if there's a bit of an echo ahead of time to pick it up. Most of the time they do, right?
Most of the time. Yeah. And sometimes actually you will get people that just have their handset so loud. Maybe they have a hearing problem or they just don't know how to turn it down, that you will still hear it through the mouthpiece, even though they swear they are holding it to their ear.
Yeah. Sitting at a 3-star bar last night, a lady right next to me was on FaceTime the entire time, talking a little loudly and chewing with her mouth open. Oh, my God. Shoot to kill? Is that okay right there? I mean, honestly, the mouth chewing. There's someone I don't see nearly as much anymore. I used to be very close with. I mean, the mouth was so open. Successful, smart person. Close your mouth. I mean, I do a lot of dumb things. I demonstrate that here on a regular basis. I kind of know how to close my mouth when eating food. But if you're on FaceTime with someone,
you got to carry on a conversation. You got to do what you got to do.
Shouting in the phone.
Salad just spraying all over your phone.
Oh, my God. I often go to the bar alone and sit at the bar to have a burger and a beer. It seems like there's always a guy on the bar on the speakerphone loud. Poor Chet Hartman, such problems. I'm switching to NPR. Oh, no. Not that. I don't think I really equated this to, like, the hostages.
I think you did.
I think I did, yeah. Quick, you're going to have Major on at 12:35 today, or is Major preparing for 5:30? Major's doing both, and he's with us in minutes on CCO. Come on, everybody. Millions are on the planet. I've watched a number of times when you've been in for Nora. I've not heard the copy machine as of yet. I'm going to ask you a TV Chiron question. We have four TVs in the studio. You've been in before.
We
got some news. We just had the local CBS news. I need to switch that. Mm-hmm. We also have ESPN with Pat McAfee show on. They're interviewing Vince Vaughn. So two questions you. When you think Vince Vaughn and you think peak Vince Vaughn for Major Garrett, what comes to mind? And also, the Chiron says, legendary actor and producer Vince Vaughn. Come on. I mean, this is, even isn't Vince Vaughn saying, I mean, seriously, how bad are you kissing up to me right now? Legendary actor.
Legendary, yes.
Laurence Olivier, Al Pacino, Vince Vaughn, not necessarily in that order.
Yes, Peter O'Toole, yes.
Peak Vince Vaughn for Major Garrett is when?
Oh, you know.
Or are you not a Vince Vaughn guy?
No, I am a Vince Vaughn guy. I mean, how could you not be?
Old School, Wedding Crashers, Swingers, Curb.
My default answer was Wedding Crashers. There's a movie that's not very good in which he has a scene around the dinner table playing the kick drum. Remember that?
I don't. What is that, Dave?
Yeah.
Vince?
It's not a very good, but that scene is epic.
Is it really good? Yeah.
Yes. But I would say probably Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers is a great movie.
It holds up. It stands the test of time, which I think is one of the hardest things for comedy to do.
Yeah, the breakout.
Because for comedy to land, it has to be contemporary. But for it to really land, it has to be not only contemporary but transcendent across eras. And Wedding Crashers holds up that way.
The breakup is the movie you're thinking.
The breakup, right, yeah.
With Jennifer Aniston. It has moments.
On the kick drum.
On the kick drum. Yes. What's that guy's name? He's so funny. I mean, I'll talk about peak Jennifer Aniston attractiveness.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, is she gorgeous in that movie. But, yeah, when they break up and they're both staying in the place, and Jennifer's brother, the guy hosts a lot of shows on the Game Show Network, he's got his sing group there, and Vince is getting into it with him. Oh, God, it's just...
The movie itself is not that great, but that scene is terrific.
That scene is terrific.
In terms of awkwardness,
yes.
Comedic timing, everyone's uncertain, like, what's happening here? And you have to, as an actor, you have to own all of the abstract bizarreness that script calls for, and Vaughn just completely owns it.
Does, absolutely. Okay, somehow, because we do it, we're going to make a transition to the...
hard turn.
This is about as hard of a turn as it gets.
Yeah.
This was, last night, the 45th President of the United States, the Republican nominee, and a person who really was the favorite for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
It might be pick him now. He might be just a little bit behind, but he's right in the mix. This is Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago appealing to someone who he wants her money. Sheldon Adelson has passed away. This is Miriam Adelson, and he is playing up to her with some comments that, I'll just be really blunt, I find repugnant. Go ahead and hit it, Dave.
We gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor, but civilian version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's soldiers. They're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets, or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's fair. And they're rated equal.
He just doesn't get it, sir. Go back to John McCain's comments. Go back to what John Kelly said. And by the way, if anybody's going to push back, I believe John Kelly 100%. Suckers and losers. And for him to say that in such a dismissive way to heroes of this country is startling and not surprising.
First of all, it's no longer the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's just the Medal of Honor.
Yep.
So know what it's called, first of all. Second of all, I did, for my show The Takeout several years ago, a show devoted entirely to Medal of Honor recipients. With David Martin, our exceptional...
Oh, legendary.
...heralded Pentagon and National Security correspondent. And as David said in the opening of that show, Nobody wins the Medal of Honor. The Medal of Honor represents valor on the worst day for that soldier, Marine, or airman in his or her life. The worst day. Because inevitably, they are under stress. Many of their comrades in arms have probably died.
Yeah, don't make it.
And they are one of the few, in some cases, only survivors. And it is the worst day of their life. They don't win the Medal of Honor. They receive it. And they receive it almost to a person with a kind of profound ambivalence that no one who has not been in combat arms can comprehend, myself included.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Myself included. And so this is a particularly special terrain of valor and heroism. Those are not words that those who have been given the Medal of Honor are comfortable invoking. I take this from David Martin, who has interviewed almost every single one over the last 30 years. He's gotten to know these people and their approach to this very well. Former President Trump can trivialize just about anything in life.
Yes, he can.
Can hammer it into kind of a pulverized submission of nothingness. Can take its special nature away from it through his rhetoric and disregard. Sometimes that's worked to his political advantage, sometimes not, but it is one of his unique, quote-unquote, talents in American political rhetoric. This is, in my way of thinking, acutely repulsive.
Yeah.
In that category.
I agree. It's gross. It's repugnant. Let's just be honest. If Joe Biden would say this, Kamala Harris would say this, if Tim Walz would say this, conservative sites would be on fire mm-hmm. and would be playing this over and yeah. over and over again. And this is a Republican Party which decade after decade after decade were proud, were confident of where they stood with the military, often pointing out their support compared to Democrats. And you now have the man who is the party and has been the party since he came down the escalator to be so dismissive when, don't forget this part, ladies and gentlemen, the only reason why Miriam Adelson received that is because she's an extraordinarily wealthy person and he's trying to get her money. I'm not saying she isn't an accomplished person and a decent person and she may have done a great deal of good. I'm not dismissing that. But for Donald Trump, you know what she is? She's an avenue for cash. And to say this, and it doesn't even bother him. That's the thing. He doesn't think back, like we all have it sometimes said, wow, I can't believe I phrased in that manner. Let me somehow and try to clean this up. That thought never crosses his mind.
Right. And look, let me take Trump out of this for a second. Because there have been times in our history when there has been a certain amount of pushback from those in the armed forces, either being manipulated by or having their imagery associated with political actors or political campaigns, and they've been uncomfortable with that. And for those of us old enough to remember, in the Vietnam War, there was a sense of maybe revolt is too strong a word, but distance that returning soldiers had to the medals or ribbons.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come on, everybody. Millions around the planet. I've watched a number of times when you've been in for Nora. I've not heard the copy machine as of yet. I'm going to ask you a TV Chiron question. We have four TVs in the studio. You've been in before. We got some news. We just had the local CBS news. I need to switch that. Mm-hmm. We also have ESPN with Pat McAfee show on. They're interviewing Vince Vaughn. So two questions you. When you think Vince Vaughn and you think peak Vince Vaughn for Major Garrett, what comes to mind? And also the Chiron says legendary actor and producer Vince Vaughn. Come on. I mean, this is, even isn't Vince Vaughn saying, I mean, seriously, how bad are you kissing up to me right now? Legendary actor.
Legendary, yes.
Laurence Olivier, Al Pacino, Vince Vaughn, not necessarily in that order.
Yes, Peter O'Toole, yes.
Peak Vince Vaughn for Major Garrett is when?
Oh, you know...
Or are you not a Vince Vaughn guy?
No, I am a Vince Vaughn guy. I mean, how could you not be?
Old School, Wedding Crashers, Swingers.
My default answer was Wedding Crashers. There's a movie that's not very good, in which he has a scene around the dinner table playing the kick drum. Remember that?
I don't. What is that, Dave?
Yeah.
Vince?
It's not very good, but that scene is epic.
Is it really good? Yeah.
Yes. But I would say probably Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, Wedding Crashers is a great movie. It's very...
It holds up. It stands the test of time, which I think is one of the hardest things for comedy to do.
Yeah, the breakout.
Because for comedy to land, it has to be contemporary, but for it to really land, it has to be not only contemporary, but transcendent across eras. And Wedding Crashers holds up that way.
The Breakup is the movie you're thinking.
The Breakup, that's right.
With Jennifer Aniston. It has moments.
On the kick drum.
On the kick drum. Yes. What's that guy's name? He's so funny. I mean, I'll talk about peak Jennifer Aniston attractiveness.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, is she gorgeous. In that movie. But yeah, when they break up and they're both staying in the place, and Jennifer's brother, the guy hosts a lot of shows on the Game Show Network, he's got his sing group there, and Vince is getting into it with him. Oh God, it's just
the movie itself is not that great, but that scene is terrific.
That scene is terrific.
In terms of awkwardness,
yes.
Comedic timing, everyone's uncertain, like what's happening here, and you have to. As an actor, you have to own all of the abstract bizarreness that script calls for, and Vaughn just completely owns it.
Does, absolutely. Okay, somehow, because we do it, we're going to make a transition to the...
hard turn.
This is about as hard of a turn as it gets.
Yeah.
This was, last night, the 45th President of the United States, the Republican nominee... And a person who really was the favorite for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
It might be pick him now. He might be just a little bit behind, but he's right in the mix. This is Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago appealing to someone who he wants her money. Sheldon Adelson has passed away. This is Miriam Adelson. And he is playing up to her with some comments that I'll just be really blunt. I find repugnant. Go ahead and hit it, Dave.
We gave Miriam the Presidential Medal of Freedom. That's the highest award you can get as a civilian. It's the equivalent of the Congressional Medal of Honor, but civilian version. It's actually much better because everyone gets the Congressional Medal of Honor. That's soldiers. They're either in very bad shape because they've been hit so many times by bullets, or they're dead. She gets it, and she's a healthy, beautiful woman. It's very... And they're rated equal.
He just doesn't get it, sir. Go back to John McCain, his comments. Go back to what John Kelly said. And by the way, if anybody's going to push back, I believe John Kelly 100%. Suckers and losers. And for him to say that in such a dismissive way to heroes of this country is startling and not surprising.
First of all, it's no longer the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's just the Medal of Honor.
Yep.
So know what it's called, first of all. Second of all, I did, for my show, The Takeout, several years ago, a show devoted entirely to Medal of Honor recipients with David Martin, our exceptional...
Oh, legendary.
...heralded Pentagon and National Security correspondent. And as David said in the opening of that show, nobody wins the Medal of Honor. The Medal of Honor represents valor on the worst day for that soldier, Marine, or airman in his or her life. The worst day. Because inevitably, they are under stress. Many of their comrades in arms have probably died.
Yeah, don't make it.
And they are one of the few, in some cases, only survivors. And it is the worst day of their life. They don't win the Medal of Honor. They receive it. And they receive it almost to a person with a kind of profound ambivalence that no one who has not been in combat arms can comprehend, myself included.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Myself included. And so this is a particularly special terrain of valor and heroism. Those are not words that those who have been given the Medal of Honor are comfortable invoking. I take this from David Martin, who has interviewed almost every single one over the last 30 years. He's gotten to know these people and their approach to this very well. Former President Trump can trivialize just about anything in life.
Yes, he can.
Can hammer it into kind of a pulverized submission of nothingness. Can take its special nature away from it through his rhetoric and disregard. Sometimes that's worked to his political advantage, sometimes not, but it is one of his unique, quote-unquote, talents in American political rhetoric. This is, in my way of thinking, acutely repulsive.
Yeah,
in that category.
I agree with you. It's gross. It's repugnant. Let's just be honest. If Joe Biden would say this, Kamala Harris would say this, if Tim Walz would say this, conservative sites would be on fire, mm-hmm. and would be playing this over and yeah. over and over again. And this is a Republican Party which decade after decade after decade were proud, were confident of where they stood with the military, often pointing out their support compared to Democrats. And you now have the man who is the party and has been the party since he came down the escalator to be so dismissive when, don't forget this part, ladies and gentlemen, the only reason why Miriam Adelson received that is because she's an extraordinarily wealthy person. And he's trying to get her money. I'm not saying she isn't an accomplished person and a decent person, and she may have done a great deal of good. I'm not dismissing that. But for Donald Trump, you know what she is? She's an avenue for cash. And to say this, and it doesn't even bother him. That's the thing. He doesn't think back, like we all have it sometimes, said, wow, I can't believe I phrased in that manner. Let me somehow and try to clean this up. That thought never crosses his mind.
Right. And look, let me take Trump out of this for a second. Because there have been times in our history when there has been a certain amount of pushback from those in the armed forces, either being manipulated by or having their imagery associated with political actors or political campaigns, and they've been uncomfortable with that. And for those of us old enough to remember, in the Vietnam War, there was a sense of maybe revolt is too strong a word, but distance that returning soldiers had to the medals or ribbons they'd received. Some of them famously threw it back at the United States Capitol to protest what was happening in the Vietnam War. So people who have served our country in the military have at times been uncomfortable with politicians overly associating themselves with their story or their life in combat. That's a part of our history, quite separate from Trump. But there are times when Trump can make those things worse or devalue them in a way, genuinely speaking, only he has. Mm-hmm. And this would fall into that category.
Yeah. I also think we just don't have enough time. We have too much. I think the last few weeks he has looked tired. He is not as sharp. He is frustrated. I laugh every time somebody tells him, talks publicly about him, he's going to establish some discipline. He's not going to change. This is who he is. But Joe Biden, rightfully so, deserved the criticism he received and the slippage, and it was evident. Watch Donald Trump in 2015, ladies and gentlemen. Watch mm-hmm. Donald Trump now. Stark, yeah. Stark difference. Quick item, then we're going to pause. Someone's giving you great praise for your interview with Justice Gorsuch. I listened also. It was very, very good.
Thank you.
And we rarely get a chance to see that side of a justice. Your questions were right on point. It's worth your time. Check it out on the Takeout, which Major's podcast is fabulous on a regular basis. We're back with Major in just a couple of minutes right here on the home of the Twins, CCO. All right, let's talk about the vice president, and the presidential nominee for the Democrats. It's Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. It's not Kamala. And this is just so coordinated. I'm going to play a little bit of a CNN panel, which was unwieldy, feisty, and Nancy Mace, the outspoken congresswoman from South Carolina, who once was a centrist and now is deep, deep MAGA, she was a part of it. Here's about 20, 30 seconds of last night.
This congresswoman is a wonderful human being, but when you disrespect Kamala Harris by saying you will call her whatever you want, I know you don't intend it to be that way. That's the history and legacy of white disregard for the humanity of black people.
So now you're calling me racist.
I just said you weren't
BS.
A racist.
That is complete
no, you don't
BS.
Have to intend racism
no,
to
no, no.
accomplish
you are
it.
Intending that
your
I'm
disrespect
racist,
of Kamala
and
Harris
that
is part and parcel of a tradition.
All right, so we don't need to hear all of it. That's just a feel. It was Major. I didn't see it live, but I saw the clips. It was seven, eight times Nancy Mace, including when she said, I'll call her whatever I want, and over and over and over again, not calling her by her name, going with, you know, not going with Kamala. Kamala. Mm-hmm.
She did once, and then she corrected.
Yeah, that's right.
To go to the mistake.
Yeah, exactly. And then Nancy Mace now on Twitter is talking about how she was beat up as a woman when she's intentionally mispronouncing the name of another female who happens to be the vice president. So I see this often. And listen, you're going to be on 5:30 our time on CBS. It is possible. I hope this does not happen. But it is possible when you're speaking on a variety of topics, we all can mispronounce a name. It happens. It's unavoidable. But there is intent in this, Major, because it is over and over and over again. What do you want to say about this?
So, several things. First of all, and thank you for recognizing that I've been substituting for Nora the last couple of weeks.
You've been
last
great.
Night,
yep.
Thank you so much. Last night we had a reader about a dual U.S. citizen, a ballerina from Los Angeles, Ksenia Karolina. I practiced her name at least 70 times before the broadcast.
Yeah.
It's a difficult name to say, but why does it matter? Because it's her name.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves respect for their name when it appears in a news story. Everyone. And I worked very hard to practice the proper pronunciation of her name. It is a core value because it is an expression of baseline, not extra respect, baseline respect. Okay? So when you intentionally mispronounce, now I could have garbled that name unintentionally. I would have felt terrible about it. It would have been an unintentional sign of disrespect, but it would have been a sign of disrespect nevertheless, even though I didn't intend that. When you intend to show disrespect, you are trying to other someone. You are trying to take them down. You are trying to minimize them. Okay. I look at this in a larger meta way. Republicans are doing this to the vice president not from a position of strength, but from a position of weakness, because they're chasing the narrative now. Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, now the Democratic nominee to be officially the Democratic nominee next week in Chicago, has dominated the news conversation, has resurged in the polls for Democrats, and Republicans are now chasing. They're chasing, and they fear they're in a position of weakness. And when J.D. Vance responds to people saying that he sounds weird at times, and he calls that bullying and high school taunting.
What's this?
That is from a position not only of momentary weakness, but accumulated weakness created by the president you are running with. Okay? No one introduced that set of tactics more regularly into the American political rhetorical space than Donald Trump. So to say, wait a minute, it's unfair because that's high school bullying or taunting. What? And the othering is from a position of weakness. And I would add one more thing to it. It has nothing to do with Nancy Mace or the pronunciation of the vice president's first or last name. Yesterday in Bedminster, which is where he did the Mary Madison
that's right.
thing, Bedminster,
yeah, not
Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago.
Yep.
Former president of the United States did something that a backbencher member of the House does. He had a press conference, quote unquote, with a bunch of ornaments arrayed on a table to make his point for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what a junior league backbencher member of the House, Republican or Democrat, does. It's a cheap, cheesy visual aid to try to communicate something that you do not feel comfortable yourself communicating. I've never seen Donald Trump have to resort to that tactic ever. Ever.
Okay. I just have to say one last thing. If we don't hear the copy machine today, we're flying out tomorrow. Along with Harrigan, I will bring a team, I will find your place, and a special set of skills will take place. We need to hear the copy machine. I have to go. We've already blown through 2 minutes of commercials. I got to fly.
And I apologize to your devoted sponsors. I apologize most profusely.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. This man joins us. I don't know why. Later in the day, he'll be speaking to the nation at 5:30 and regretting every time he comes on this show. Derek Falvey, early next hour. All right, let's talk about the vice president, and the presidential nominee for the Democrats. It's Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris. It's not Kamala. And this is just so coordinated. I'm going to play a little bit of a CNN panel, which was unwieldy. Feisty, and Nancy Mace, the outspoken congresswoman from South Carolina, who once was a centrist and now is deep, deep MAGA, she was a part of it. Here's about 20, 30 seconds of last night.
This congresswoman is a wonderful human being, but when you disrespect Kamala Harris by saying you will call her whatever you want, I know you don't intend it to be that way. That's the history and legacy of white disregard for the humanity of black people.
So now you're calling me racist.
I just said you weren't a racist.
That is complete
BS. You don't have to intend racism
accomplish it. You are intending that
your disrespect
racist,
of Kamala Harris is part and parcel of a tradition.
We don't need to hear all of it. That's just to feel. It was major. I didn't see it live, but I saw the clips. It was seven, eight times Nancy Mace, including when she said, I'll call her whatever I want, and over and over and over again, not calling her by her name, Kamala. Mm-hmm.
She did once, and then she corrected.
Yeah, that's right.
To go to the mistake.
Yeah, exactly. And then Nancy Mace now on Twitter is talking about how she was beat up as a woman when she's intentionally mispronouncing the name of another female who happens to be the vice president. So I see this often. And listen, you're going to be on 5:30 our time on CBS. It is possible. I hope this does not happen. But it is possible when you're speaking on a variety of topics, we all can mispronounce a name. It happens. It's unavoidable. But there is intent in this, Major, because it is over and over and over again. What do you want to say about this?
So several things. First of all, And thank you for recognizing that I've been substituting for Nora the last couple of weeks.
You've been
last
great.
Night,
yep. You,
thank you so much. Last night we had a reader about a dual U.S. citizen, a ballerina from Los Angeles, Ksenia Karolina. I practiced her name at least 70 times before the broadcast.
Yeah.
It's a difficult name to say, mm-hmm. but why does it matter? Because it's her name.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves respect for their name when it appears in a news story. Everyone. And I worked very hard to practice the proper pronunciation of her name. It is a core value because it is an expression of baseline, not extra respect, baseline respect. Okay? So when you intentionally mispronounce, now you could, I could have garbled that name unintentionally. I would have felt terrible about it. It would have been an unintentional sign of disrespect, but it would have been a sign of disrespect nevertheless, even though I didn't intend that. When you intend to show disrespect, you are trying to other someone. You are trying to take them down. You are trying to minimize them. Okay. I look at this in a larger meta way. Republicans are doing this to the vice president, not from a position of strength, but from a position of weakness, because they're chasing the narrative now. Kamala Harris, the vice president of the United States, now the Democratic nominee to be officially the Democratic nominee next week in Chicago, has dominated the news conversation, has resurged in the polls for Democrats, and Republicans are now chasing. They're chasing and they fear they're in a position of weakness. And when J.D. Vance responds to people saying that he sounds weird at times, and he calls that bullying and high school taunting.
What's this?
That is from a position not only of momentary weakness, but accumulated weakness created by the president you are running with. Okay? No one introduced that set of tactics more regularly into the American political rhetorical space than Donald Trump. So to say, wait a minute, it's unfair because that's high school bullying or taunting. What? And the othering is from a position of weakness. And I would add one more thing to it. It has nothing to do with Nancy Mace or the pronunciation of the vice president's first or last name. Yesterday in Bedminster, which is where he did the Mary Madison
that's right.
thing, Bedminster,
yeah, not Mar-a-Lago. Yep.
Former president of the United States did something that a backbencher member of the House does. He had a press conference, quote unquote, with a bunch of ornaments arrayed on a table to make his point for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what a junior league backbencher member of the House, Republican or Democrat, does. It's a cheap, cheesy visual aid to try to communicate something that you do not feel comfortable yourself communicating. I've never seen Donald Trump have to resort to that tactic ever. Ever.
Okay. I just have to say one last thing. If we don't hear the copy machine today, we're flying out tomorrow. Along with Harrigan, I will bring a team, I will find your place, and a special set of skills will take place. We need to hear the copy machine. I have to go. We've already blown through 2 minutes of commercials. I got to fly.
And I apologize to your devoted sponsors. I apologize most profusely.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. This man joins us. I don't know why. Later in the day, he'll be speaking to the nation at 5:30 and regretting every time he comes on this show. Derek Falvey, early next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.